Come, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats, everyone. So I was praying about this time tonight. I was drawn to a few verses in the book of Acts which have really impacted me in my time at Holland Road. I believe will continue to as long as God's called me, not just here, but in this city. I can remember when God brought these verses to mind, and it was probably my earliest memory of being at Holland Road, other than sitting upstairs the first day I arrived with Adam Clayton. This is the passage that I most early remember speaking to me, probably some 18 or more years ago, maybe over 20 years ago now, actually. And Philip, after the service, you prayed with me. I was really moved by this passage, and you prayed with me just near where Quentin is sitting over there in those pews. And I've probably been here 2 or 3 weeks. And this was the passage that God brought to mind. I wonder if you've got your Bibles, you might want to open up, but Ben's put it up on the screen for us. It's Paul, and he's speaking to the Ephesian elders and the beach at Miletus. And this is what he says. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Now, wonderful little insight into the Apostle Paul's life. And as I was thinking about just recently arriving in Brighton, I was thinking about this place where I just found I met with God and he touched my heart. I knew that actually the things that he had for me and for us in this city were going to be costly things. It was going to be a challenging call. But I knew that the Holy Spirit had got me here, even to this church. I knew that. And I knew that part of what was the calling on my life and on our lives as Christians is to share this good news that we're coming and gathering around the table tonight. And so I want to just briefly talk about a number of things that really strike me from this passage that I think are really relevant for us, again, tonight in the life of the church. And the first is this, the importance of God's Spirit. Do you see how Paul is living his life? And he can describe what's going on in his life as being compelled by the Spirit. And I want to encourage you and say, brothers and sisters, one of the things that is most wonderful in life is to kind of be led of the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to say, "God, as we were thinking about this morning, I want to be available to you, and would you lead and guide me?" And there are moments when that really is kind of wonderful and exciting, and other moments where that's challenging and hard. But what we want as a people, even as we come again to a church meeting later tonight, as we go into a new year, and particularly out of this time of prayer and fasting, we've been in this season really since last September, where we were pressing in and saying, "God, we are hungry for more of you." And as we went through that time, even right early on, there was a sense in our hearts as leaders, and people were bringing words, like I referred to a word that Roger Whittington had for us, which was about that God wants to do more in the life of the church. He wants to pour out more of his Spirit. And we've been living as a church in that and pressing into that, and in our 7 series over Christmas was that kind of whole thing about a supernatural Christmas and saying, "God, would you do more? You, the God of miracles, would you do more in us?" And right at the heart of that is actually allowing and wanting God to lead us more by his Spirit in our own lives. That Spirit that says, "Go this way and not that way. Choose the holy path, not the way of the world. The Spirit that actually fills us and shapes us with the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit that actually compels us into mission. And there's something in this verse of kind of like being bound by the Spirit, literally being led of the Spirit. And that is one of the things that I just want to increasingly encourage. We were thinking about it this morning, but that little moment where I said, God, just who do you want me to move towards? Lead me in your love to those around me. And even again today, hearing Dan say that just by that simple step of obedience to go on him, just meant he came to Alpha. And I just want to say, God, would you help me just be led of you? Would you help us be led of you, that we would be a people compelled by the Spirit? And you know, as we've been pressing into that as a church, we kind of ended this season of prayer and fasting in our prayer week. And one of the things that we did on the Wednesday night, who was here on the Wednesday night of the prayer week? It was such a sweet time. We pressed into this sense of God is our Father and all that means. And then we pressed in for the next hour into what it means to know God the Son and to seek his presence. And then we pressed into God the Holy Spirit. And it was wonderful. It was such a joy. And the sense of God in that time moving by his Spirit, but also wanting to do more in us. And I want to say, Holland Road, let's be a people compelled by God's Spirit. Amen. Let's be a people who say, God, we trust you. Would you fill us? Would you lead us? Would you use our lives? And that leads on to this next thing, and that is not just the importance of God's Spirit, but the importance of God's work. Did you notice what the Apostle Paul says about God's work? Let me read again. He says, I know I'm now compelled by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. That's often the way when we're led by God's Spirit. We don't quite know what the future will hold and what that will mean. But he says this, I do know, though, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. And I want to say, folks, if we are to be led by the Spirit, we can also know that. Because Jesus said that if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We know that the way that God's calling us and the work he's calling us to is a costly, hard work. We know that. And yet, listen to Paul. He says, however. Have we got it back on the screens, maybe? Can we go back a couple of slides? However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. It's got echoes, doesn't it, of Nehemiah? This great project, I can't stop it. This great task that God's given me. Paul says, look, this is how important God's work is. I consider my life worth nothing to me compared to this. Wow. I was at the time when I had that word. I was working as an engineer in Ricardo in an engineering firm in Shoreham. Still was going to be working there for the next 4 years after that word. And just knowing that actually what I was doing there wasn't just working for my boss, who actually later got baptized right here. A decade later, I wasn't just working for him. I was working for Jesus Christ. I was there for him, to shine for him, to live for him, to do whatever I did as unto him. And so in my place where I lived, around the corner, and so for you guys, where you live and work, we are on this great work that God's called us to live for him, to help others come to know him, to particularly to help those who maybe are younger than us in the faith, and they might only be a bit younger, but to help them grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, to raise the next generation of parents. You know, we need to be those that are raising the next generation of those who are going to be kind of key single people in the life of the church, whose impact will be massive for the kingdom. We need to be those who are, yes, raising the next generation of students and youth and children, but also people who are going to be influencing God in business or in the thing. You know, I look around here and I see people who've, God's used you so mightily. And let's be those who are saying, God, even when it's costly to do that again, to move towards people in love, whether it's in the congregation or outside of it, we're gonna embrace that. Even when we get pushback, We're going to embrace that. One of the things as we try and raise the next generation is we just know the impact that extended family has on that. That us being a church where we rub shoulders with different generations. And last week, as we did those scattered gatherings, that was a real intention to try and press into that more. And one of the big joys was not just all the things that happened in the different services, but just the fact that we could then eat together. And more people, I think, ate together last Sunday after church than we've probably seen in the time that I can remember, because that hall was filled there, but so were places in the west and the east. And I just went up to a table. It happened to be the table that Jackie was on and a few others as well, and I just said, how did you find the service? And they said, oh, it was uncomfortable. I don't know if you found that last week, intergenerational, moving around to different stations, it's always uncomfortable. And Jackie added and said, but that is so good, because it moves us towards others and mixing with people we wouldn't usually mix with. And I want to say, Jackie and you guys who were with you, I just thought, this is what a wonderful privilege to be around people like this who say, yeah, doing this stuff, doing church a bit differently, moving towards others that we don't know or different generations is not always comfortable, but it is worth it. It's good for us. And I encourage you, as we continue to try and press into how we can raise the next generation, how we can really pour out our lives into the lives of others and say, look, this is how God helped me. This is things I've learned. Hey, I want to pass them on to you. And know this. Most people aren't helped or encouraged by you saying, hey, look how wonderful I am. No. Actually, people want to know, how has that wonderful picture, Brian, how has God given you the grace and the resources that you needed? And this is Paul's message, isn't it? He said, look, I consider my life worth nothing if only I may go and testify to the good news of God's grace. It's the importance of God's grace. It's the whole story of Holland Road. It's, in fact, the story of the entire church across the world. It's the story of God's grace. My story, your story, our story, it's all about God's grace. It's all about what he has done for us. That's why this meal is like a meal that's right at the heart of this church and of the church all around the city and the nation and the nations, because it's a meal that reminds us of the good news of God's grace, that we can't do it on ourselves, that the task is too big, that we are inadequate, but that Jesus is sufficient. Amen? And that his grace is good news for me and good news for you and good news for everyone you know. It is amazingly good news, and people need that good news. Life is a struggle, but Jesus is wonderful. And whether that's people around you who are a bit younger in faith or a bit younger in age or a lot younger, let us be those who have a testimony, who testify to God's grace in our life. That, you know what? Yeah, things are sometimes challenging, but God has been good to us. And we've been able to reach out and receive his grace. And so I love this verse. I love Acts 20, 22 to 24. If you want to try and remember it, it's 20, 22, 24. It goes up like that. And Acts 20. And it is such an encouragement to remember the importance of God's Spirit, the importance of God's work, this work that he's called us to, this great work, and the importance of God's grace, of remembering it is all about him. And that is why I want us to come to this table, to receive grace, to remember again, this is good news. We have good news. We want to say, God, just as you we're willing to count the cost. We want to say again, Lord, we consider our lives worth nothing if we might be part of your story of sharing in our time, in our generation, to the next generation, the good news of God's grace. Amen? So let's just be still. Holy Spirit, come. Perhaps as we come to communion tonight, to receive grace again tonight, there's something the Holy Spirit wants to do of just reminding you of this amazing work that is actually even more precious than life itself. This call of God on your life to follow Jesus, to live for Him, to help others come to know Him. And Lord, we're sorry for where we make other things more important. Where we live lives about self-protection rather than being willing to be poured out with You for the sake of others. But Lord, to do that is hard. And so once again, we come to receive Your grace. And tonight, I invite you, if you believe in Jesus, come and receive. There's good news here. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He'd given thanks, He broke it. And Jesus, we thank You for Your broken body hung on the cross for our sake. We thank You that Your grace is sufficient. We thank You that You said it is finished, it's done. Our salvation won at the cross. We thank You, God, for Your grace. And as we receive it, Lord, I pray that You would cause it well up within us the desire to share of Your grace with others.